Okay, today is Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. Time now is 5:21, which is going to be our regular board meeting. All board members are present with Don B. present on the phone. Item 1A, call to order and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag,
of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1B, adoption of the agenda. I'm good with it. Are you good, Don, with the agenda?
I agreed. I don't have any changes.
Yeah.
Did Brisa just make a motion, or is she just discussing?
No. I'm just asking around, make sure everybody's good with the agenda. I would like to make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oh, sorry. I guess I didn't hear her second at first.
Sorry.
Brisa second?
Yes.
Okay.
Three ayes. And moving on to item 2, call to the public.
If I can go first, and I don't know, Ms. Mott had talked to me about possibly wanting to talk, so I don't know if she's interested or not. But, sorry, just got to type in Romero. I gave you guys a couple of things. First of all, I gave you a correction on the contract for the consultant. The end date is June 30th, not July 1st. That July 1st, the new fiscal year. I don't know why I put July 1st, but that was wrong. The second thing I gave you guys is a printout from the trust. That's dealing from all of the attorneys with the trust, and that's coming down because there are a lot of questions about the vaccine. Okay, we have scheduled or we have applied for the vaccine for our school. And there are different things going out there. If you read that, I don't know, I think it's like 17 or 19 pages. It's a lot. But it deals with going through everything from the aspect of can we make the vaccine mandatory or not. Legally, we can make the vaccine mandatory, okay? After talking with 12 different superintendents today, there are two schools that are going down that road. There are two or three schools that are taking it to their board to discuss it, and everybody else is going to make it optional. And I felt at first like it needed to be mandatory, but I also wasn't thinking about the fact that we don't right now have any information on how the vaccine is going to affect transplant patients, and we do have two people that are on staff that are transplant patients, at least two. And in that regard, it would probably go to the EEOC, and it would probably be an ADA compliant thing, but I think that making it optional, but with the understanding that if people do not get vaccinated, that if there's some kind of a optional thing, in all likelihood, I probably won't have them. I won't put those people that are not vaccinated in situations where they would come in more contact with people from the public than I have to. That would be my recommendation, and I would leave that, and we will have a discussion about that on the 19th, because I know we won't get our vaccines before then. But I would like you guys to think about that. Read what it says in there. There is a link also to the EEOC that will take you through it. The problem is that there's never been anything like this in everybody's lifetime. And so when they look at all the things linked to the EEOC, you know, they're looking at all the disabilities and all of the different things with sexism, racism, and all the other stuff. So they're saying it's okay to make it mandatory because we're trying to protect everybody. I think we make it optional, and we encourage people to do it, and we have it so that people can get it in the easiest way possible, and if they choose not to, then I think that's up to them. My concern is if we have too many people that didn't want to get it, and then we bring that, you know, illness in, you know, we bring illness in, or somebody brings illness into the building and then we have a bunch of people get sick again. My hope would be that we all got vaccinated so that we would be able to get back to face-to-face education a lot quicker. But I think the more I think about it, the more I look at the different situations we have with at least a couple of staff members, I realize that by saying mandatory, we already would be eliminating a couple people because of those things. And I don't know. I guess I'm kind of switching how I was 2 days ago. 2 days ago, I was pretty set that we should make it mandatory. And I feel like most of our staff want to get it. I don't think that's going to be an issue. But I do know that there are a couple of staff members, at least one staff member plus the two transplants, that wouldn't be able to get it.
Okay, so if they don't get it, are they
going to
want, like, special treatment? Not special treatment.
Well, aren't you guys, like, what tier are we on? The medical people are on the first tier.
Right. We're 1B.
Where do we fall in there?
We're 1B, Don. We're the next group. Right now, the medical staff or the medical emergency people are all getting it, and the nursing homes. And then we are the next group.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I just know my cousin is a nurse here in Tucson, and she had a terrible reaction from it. And she's never had a reaction in her life to any type of vaccine. I was hoping we would be another layer down, but then we'll just have to see how it goes. And then, of course, if for religious reasons, we can't question that.
But
we should have them sign a waiver or something if they stand down, don't you think?
They would have to find something because
of the ones that are not willing to get vaccinated. So and how do you know if they're getting vaccinated or not?
Well, we're going to have a mass vaccination with the staff. I'll put Dawn in the middle of you guys, then you guys can hear her. So.
Well, my thing is like, okay, so if they don't get the vaccine, are they going to teach from home? If they do that,
no.
Teachers
if they don't get the vaccine, once we go back to live teaching or hybrid or whatever it is, everybody will be expected to do that. I mean, everybody that we have on staff.
So what's going to happen with the ones that don't get the vaccine?
They're going to have to teach less.
It's going to be normal with everybody straight
exactly.
Up.
Exactly.
Are we going to know who doesn't get the vaccine, or is that information covered by HIPAA?
I will know.
yeah.
I the office will know, but I don't know.
How are you going to verify it? How are you going to verify this?
Well, because we're going to do it. We're going to get it as a staff. I mean, it sounds like the health department will either come down here or we will all go up. They give you a card too? Okay. Or we will all go up if they do, say they do Bisbee schools and Knockle schools at the same time, and we are going to all meet at Lowell and get the vaccines in the gym. Something like that. So.
But I also think that they get a card or something that shows that they have it.
Yeah, because there are some businesses that are requiring it.
There are
other things going. I know some businesses are even offering a bonus. You know, I mean, we just don't have that capability. So that's how I feel about it. I really feel like it's got to be optional. We will know who doesn't have it. Nobody's going to get special treatment. If they choose not to get the vaccine, they're still going to be expected to do their job just like everybody else will, whatever capacity we're in. If we're in teaching at home, everybody has the option to do that. If we're in at school, they're at school. If we are, you know, so we would.
I think if you put it on them, it's probably going to be more likely rather than you force them to do it. I think you're going to have better outcome anyway.
Well, I think we're going to get a lot of the people to do it anyway, and I don't want to make somebody do something or choose between teaching and quitting because of a vaccine. You know, I don't. The other thing. What was the other thing? I did talk about both of them, the consultation agreement and that. So that was the two things I wanted to mention. Okay. Did you want to talk?
Is there a favor for the trust in here?
Huh?
Do you guys have paperwork on the trust?
Yeah, I've got a big handout for you, about 16 pages. I just got it printed yesterday for everybody.
Okay.
So when you come in to get that, you'll get your piece of chocolate.
Oh, bait me. I'll go ahead. Okay.
All right, so.
Okay, I'm good with that. I think I'm square now on that.
Also, I have checked with the other schools about what their plans are as far as coming, going back to school and whatever. The only school right now that's in person that I know of is Palominos. The other schools that I've talked to, right now their plans are that they're going to, at their next board meeting, address how long they're going to stay out. But I'm talking to Bisbee, off the record, they're assuming they're going to be out until sometime in February right now. So we'll see.
I just would like it to be optional. I'm the one person, and I just don't feel comfortable with the whatever it's called. I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't think it's been tested long enough.
I just checked.
And I just don't feel comfortable with it. And I would prefer not to get it. And worrying about what's going on, I've been here every day with kids that are, we know where they're coming from, and we know what it's like over there, so
yeah.
That's just how
my only thing is, like I was telling Ms. Rackman, I think that they should make it optional, because there's a lot of people are against it, and there's a lot of people that are willing to take it, you know, like everybody else, but my thing is, like, say for instance, optional, you decide not to take it, and then for some reason, there's a, if, you know, people start getting sick here at school, you decide to go home because you don't have the vaccine. You decide, they make you an option to teach from home. All these other teachers that got the vaccine are going to be like, why? Why does she get to go home just because she didn't get the vaccine? Can you hear it now? I can hear it. Like, it's coming.
Well, I can't too, but it's for safety. And here's the thing.
But I understand.
Legally to take it, you know.
But that's my thing. My thing is, like, if you decide not to take it, sign the waiver, sign the paper, say, you know, it's fine. But that you know what's going to come with it. Consequences,
but,
is like,
but in the same breath, even with not having it, you have people.
Or even put them in a gym or something, you know? Or an isolated room. Not make them go home, but make all the people who don't have that vaccine sit in one room together and do it online.
Well, no, that's the thing. We don't want that. Why? Because then people are going to be divided big time.
We don't want people looking for special treatment.
Or excuses, because I'm not saying you look for an excuse, because like you said, you've been here since day one when all this started. You have kids in your class, you have no kids in your class, you have, you know, and you haven't complained about it. But we've seen that where other places, with or without kids, they're complaining about it. So that's where I'm heading to. I don't want it to affect the people. I don't want it to be like, well, if she does it, then I want it like her, even though I have the vaccine. Do you see what I mean?
I will check with the trust attorneys. I'll shoot them an email tomorrow, and I'll ask them about a waiver or something like that, what they recommend if we're going to make it optional, so that there's no liability or pushback to us if people choose not to get it.
Because
as of right now, it's optional.
It's not mandatory,
right?
It's optional.
What the trust is recommending is that it's mandatory. That's what the attorneys are recommending.
Because at the county, it's going to be optional.
Right.
Because it's the same situation.
Health professionals that want to take it.
Well, I think it needs to be optional because, you guys, if we make it mandatory, let's say somebody does have a reaction and something happens to them, so that way the liability doesn't fall on us if we give it up to them to make the decision, and hoping they'll make the right decision.
I think it should also be optional. I'm reading here that currently the COVID-19 vaccines that are scheduled to be produced and distributed are not approved for children under the age of 16. So to me, that would be kind of productive if we make it mandatory. You know, that means that children are not going to be getting the vaccine. But you know,
this would only affect our staff. We would not be able to,
well, I think
because
the
there's no
be
studies
later,
that
because
we would not be able
to handle
it
first, too, you know.
However,
that's what Mr. McAllen is saying, that it would affect the staff only, not the kids in that section.
Yeah, however, you know, I think it should be optional, but continue with our normal routine, normal business as usual. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah, okay. then it probably won't come back to you guys for a vote.
I will
find out what they recommend as far as a waiver or liability form or whatever. So.
Cool. So we're good on the call to the public. All right, moving on to the consent agenda. Approval of the minutes, regular board meeting for December 8th. I'm good with it.
I am too.
All right. Moving on to a brief report on superintendent evaluation by me. So I wrote an email. I would like to read this off. The Nauk Elementary School District board members have completed the annual evaluation of the superintendent, Mr. Timothy Macklin, for the year 2020. This is Mr. Macklin's second school year with Nauk Elementary School, which has been a challenging year for all educational leaders. Mr. Macklin's performance has been exceptional, especially given the circumstances throughout the year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Mr. Macklin has been diligent in providing a healthy learning environment by creating a distance learning program, purchasing Chromebooks for online student use, and having the district participate in the USDA summer lunch program throughout the school year. Mr. Macklin is deserving of an outstanding performance rating, which authorizes him for an incentive evaluation bonus as specified in his contract. The school board takes pleasure in announcing that Mr. Macklin has accepted a new three-year contract for Mr. Macklin. We look forward to Mr. Macklin's outstanding service and dedication to the Nauk Elementary School District for the next three school years and continue to make strides to provide our students with a prominent education.
Well done.
Right. Moving on to C, brief update on new superintendent contract for the next three school years from, I just did that, right?
What I did was I put together a short little synopsis. The contract's on file. Actually, it will be on file as soon as you sign it, President Omos. The contract contains, over the next 3 years, varying raises from $3,300 to $4,000 over a three-year period. Everything else that was included along with a 403 match for $1,560 for the year, and additional life insurance. And that contract will run from July 1st, 2021 through June 30th of 2024.
Okay. Moving on to the presentation of the December financial report and then also the approval of the December vouchers.
As stated on the agenda, we're moving on.
Are we still talking about this contract or are we on the next one?
We're going to D&E.
D&E? Okay, well, one thing I want to say before we proceed is I know, when do we do our teacher evaluations? Is it April?
Well, you mean when we decide offering contracts and things?
Okay, so I guess the question would be, I'm just hoping that we can find something to give the teachers, obviously if they qualify, to give them a bonus for their performance too, you know, and hopefully this is like nothing we've ever experienced, so
yeah.
Just saying.
And,
but other than that, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, and we wrote into the 301 contract because of the COVID. We made many changes to the 301 contract to basically make it easier for all the teachers to get that bonus this year.
Okay.
So there are quite a few points in there that we changed to allow them to get them more involved in some things and to allow them to get that bonus. So hopefully if they all make it, I think the last year the bonus was, at the end of the year it was $3,800 or $3,900, and at Christmas it was about $1,100. So it comes to about $5,000.
And who's going to have to do the evaluations this year?
Of the teachers?
For the teachers, yeah.
Me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were having a...
Yeah, we're doing them. I mean, I'm visiting online. I visited in person. And I'm hopeful that we'll be able to do a little bit more in person. But right now, I'm just trying to get in and out of there online and watch make my points from there. So... It's not a normal situation, let's just say that.
Okay, thank you. I'm ready to move on now.
I do have a question.
Has the presentation of the vouchers and financial report were going to postpone until January 19th?
Oh, okay. You heard that, Dawn?
Right, we're moving to 19th, okay.
Okay.
And then E also, right?
Yes.
So D and E are both being moved to the next meeting.
Correct. So with that being said, I would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Without D and E, ABC.
Well, those are already specified within the consent agenda, so I think if we just approve it and then vote on it, it'll be good, right? Because it's already specified on
that. That's why I specified that we were going to move them.
So I made the motion. Brisa second. Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Yay.
All right, moving on to action items.
Aye.
A, approve the consultation agreement with William Benning to work up to 12 hours per week when needed.
It would basically...
I don't really have a great deal of discussion about this on my part. I fully believe that William Benning will be a complete asset to us, and I think it'll help take a lot off of Donna, too. So I have no questions about it myself. So.
In the consultation agreement, I do want everybody to note that, as I said in the December meeting, if we could get this set up, I would date it earlier before Christmas. We were able to have him come over and meet on December 18th, and he's started working for us after the 18th, and so I want to make sure that everybody sees that date, that it's not today moving forward, but it was December 18th. Because we actually have had him helping us on some different things already with the idea that we were going to be able to pass this. So if you say no, I'll be paying him out of my own pocket. So, it's basically the exact same contract. We had to have three bids. One bid is from Heinfeld and Meech, and you all know that that's about $1,500 a day plus travel and meals and everything else. The other consultation price is from Mike Conley, who right now we have hired earlier in the year, but he has been unable to help us because of a medical situation. That agreement is the exact same agreement as Mr. Benning, which comes to $25 an hour or $200 a day, except Mr. Benning will do the mileage at $25 a day because he drives from Sierra Vista. And Mr. Conley's at $40 a day because he drives from Vail. So that's the difference between them. As long as we have three bids, we can go ahead and accept it. And it's okay to accept, even if we've already accepted one of the other bids, because they're the exact same bid. There's no lower bid. They're both the two lowest bids. So.
Okay, well, again, I don't have any question about it. I think that he's going to be a complete asset. He came highly recommended by Jackie Clay, too, by the way.
Anybody else have questions for me on Mr. Benning? He's going to be back over here Friday. He's completed three or four things for us already. So,
why only up to 12 hours?
I was looking at the budgetary part of it, and I'm trying to keep the pay for him at $8,000, and then the mileage at $500 or less, and that's kind of where I got it. If we needed more, I would come back and ask for an extra day or 2 days or whatever in a month. But right now, I think at 12 hours a week, we're going to be okay. Because as much as he got done, you know, in a day and a half over break, it's we're going to be okay. He got a lot done. Okay. So.
You want to make a motion?
Are we ready?
Yep, we're ready.
I'd like to make a motion to approve William Benning.
I'll second that.
Aye.
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 Sorry.
Aye.
All right, moving on to action item B, presentation, discussion, and possible vote to extend the online learning period from January 11th until at least January 25th.
I mean, if you guys followed the news yesterday, Arizona's number one in the world. Maybe we could get there in something. That or hazardous waste materials, one of the two, but we made it in COVID again. It's very scary, very frustrating. Dr. Miller from the Copper Queen is, you know, people are they're sick of trying to do everything, so they're not doing anything. And with the two holidays, we knew this was going to be an issue. That's why we went to, you know, online when we went to online. Right now, it's not looking good. They're projecting in next week, the middle of next week, that we will have a surge coming on top of a surge, which basically means all the hospital beds are going to be full, the death rate is going to be high, and we're going to have a high number of cases, so there's not going to be a break for probably about a month. And that's if we straighten up and follow the rules and do smart things. So I would like to say right now the 25th, because the 19th we have our next meeting. Didn't make any sense to me to say the 19th and come back for a three-day week. And it gives us enough time to sit and look at it, and if they're right about the surge, we're going to probably have to push it back again. I have spoken with, like I said earlier, with Bisbee, and they're right now, they at their next board meeting, they're anticipating moving that date for hybrid back into February, and possibly towards the end of February again if they have to again. It just depends on how the numbers come out, but right now we are way over in the red in all three categories. We just finished a week where the lowest day of positivity rate was 22%. Our cases per 100,000 are flying, our hospitals, our deaths, everything's gone way up. So to me, setting the 25th is just, it's a shorter term goal, but it gives us another meeting to really evaluate where we are at that time on the 19th.
So what are all those Greeks thinking about this? I'm curious because somebody died in my family. My uncle died of COVID, and so it does change everything. Arizona's on fire. Cochise County is just out of control, too. So I'm just curious what you guys think about that.
I think we should follow the recommendations, me personally.
I do.
I agree with moving it to the 25th and taking a look at it on the 19th. And if things are not looking any better, I wouldn't mind moving it till February, because if staff and students as well. I mean, maybe some of them will have the vaccine at one time, but not all of them. So I'd rather play it safe.
I would love to go back to in-class learning. However, at the same time, I don't want to be. We don't want to be the one school district that goes rogue and starts doing our own thing, not following recommendations from the health department. And
we just don't want something to happen to any of our people at all, and kids if possible.
Also, I still think there's a lot of things I
don't have any question about it. I think we need to follow the guidelines myself. So, I'm good.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to approve item D pertaining to the online learning period, moving from 11th to the 25th.
I second the motion.
Aye.
All right, moving on to presentation, discussion, and vote on approval of time work between 12 to 20 hours per week over the Christmas break to complete technology projects and office volume projects that we do not have the time for when we are doing our regular jobs day in and day out.
And I told you we were going to use a couple of people.
I don't have any questions about it. I think we have to reimburse them for their work done, so I don't think we have any argument there.
And it would be at their regular rate of pay.
Yeah. Ready?
I want to make a motion to approve hours for the extra hours for Victor Valdez and Yaredia Borges over the Christmas break.
I'll second that.
Aye.
All right. And moving on to the reorganization of the school board for the 2021 calendar year. A, election of officers, president and clerk. So I actually spoke with Mr. Macklin a while back about reorganizing the school board. That way everybody gets an opportunity to be the president. And I think being that Lisa is a newly elected board member, that you're here stuck for a few more years, I think it'll be a good experience for you. I would ask you if you want to be the school board president. No pressure. honestly.
Well, here's the thing. I think that you really want to be president pretty bad, but in the end, I want to know if Risa is willing to do it before we force her into it.
Yeah, don't be forced into it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't want her to do that. I want her to have I want her opinion about the whole thing before we shove it off on her. I want to know how she feels about it.
Yeah, how do you feel about it?
Okay, my thing is my thing it would be, okay, being a single mom, I am sorry, but my kids come first no matter what, where, when, and how. And I do have two jobs. And I also have to, my mom, a lot of the times, I'm her driver, driving the Daisy here. So my thing is, if anything, they come first no matter what, I'm sorry. But if I can't, I won't.
That's why we have
to start. Well, so you're saying you're declining, right, the possibility?
I don't want to think,
okay.
I don't know.
Oh,
I mean, it's a
okay,
great opportunity
so how about
to do
this?
It.
How about if I make a motion for Olmos to retain the presidency, and then in the event that he isn't able, that we would have you fill in if you can get your feet wet?
Well, you have a motion on the table, so is there a second for that? And then if there's no second, that motion dies, and then your motion
goes. I have no idea what
you're saying.
Mr. Macklin is saying that there is a motion on the table since you have made that motion, and if somebody is willing to second, then that motion goes through. Otherwise, that motion is dead.
Right. So the motion on the table
okay,
right
so
now
the
is Mr.
Olmos'
right? motion for Risa Romero to be president.
Yeah,
if there's no second for that would die.
I'm not going to second on that because I think it would be unethical. The only person
I'm not
going to
do a second if it's against your wishes. And if you don't agree, I take care of my mother and all, and my aunt, and everybody's been sick. And so I understand where she's coming from. I have elderly parents, and it's just, the clock's ticking with our parents. So we just have to take as good a care of them as we can while they're here. And so I understand that. So I'd like to make a motion to retain Olmos as the president.
Okay, so no one's
going to
make a second.
I'll tell you that I don't mind being the president. I think it's a good leadership experience. I'm talking more and more with the superintendents, and just keep the district running. I think it's a good experience. One thing that I will say, though, I'm getting ready to go to the Customs and Border Protection Academy. I don't mind. Let me put that out there. I don't mind being the president. I can always work around it. But I totally understand if you don't feel comfortable, maybe right now, you have a lot of stuff going on. I totally understand.
That's my thing, to be honest. I'm not going to say I'm 100% because I even told Mr. Macklin. It's something that when I came to the board, I never did I say I wanted to be a president. I wanted to be to help my school because it's my school and I wanted to help. I wanted to be there. But to become a president, I honestly think it's a big, big obligation and I can't take it right now. I won't be able to.
Do you want a second on that motion?
If all goes out to the academy, then and he's unable to do it, maybe you could do it temporarily or something, fill in for him, and then I would be there to help you.
Okay, so, Ms. Romero,
I'd like to go ahead and stay with the motion for Olmos and recess the clerk as my motion, and then as the time, when the time comes, that we'll have to maybe modify that for to have somebody filling in if he is. You're definitely going to the academy, to the Orb Tool Academy?
Yes, as of right now, yes. Unless.
Are you going to Georgia?
To Georgia, yeah, unless they change it again. So I was supposed to go in a few days, but due to COVID, it changed. So now I'm not leaving until May.
Okay, so Don, let me clear this up here. Give me a second to clear this up. So, Barisa Romero, are you declining the nomination?
Yes.
I have no idea what he's saying.
Mr. Macklin just asked Lisa if she is declining the nomination, and she stated yes.
Okay. So
I'd like to make the motion as it stands to retain Mr. Olmos and Brisa as the clerk. That's my motion on the floor.
Do you want to second that motion?
I would like to second that motion.
Brisa second? Okay. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All righty.
All right.
Congratulations, Mr. Olmos.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So our next meeting is January 19th.
Our next meeting?
January 19th at 5:15 p.m.
All righty. Bells on. Okay.
Right. Stay safe, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And with that, I would like to make a motion
to
adjourn. At
I'll second.
5:57.
Oh. Okay.
Don't
I'll second that.
Aye.
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 All right.
Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you guys, everything you do. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
No problem. Talk to you later.
Take care now. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.